This morning I'm going to read Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may set one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many."
Amen. You may be seated. We're in the middle of a 3-message series from Mark chapter 10. We're considering different quotations from Jesus. Last week, we looked at Jesus saying, "All things are possible with God." This week, Jesus says these words to two of his disciples, "You don't know what you're asking." I wonder if there's ever been a time that Jesus may have used these words for us. Sometimes we just struggle in praying, and that may be a beginning point for some people today. If you don't really have that relationship with Christ, or if you haven't had a prayerful relationship with Christ, that may be the beginning. But as we do, and as that develops, as that relationship develops, we come to understand that prayer is a way of communicating with God. But a lot of times we get caught up in what I call one-way praying. And we don't necessarily pay attention to what God has to say. And then there's some times that we may pay a little bit of attention, but I wonder if there may have been times that God may have said to us, just like he did to James and John, "You really don't know what you're asking." So I want us to look at the scripture. And in the scripture we just read, the beginning of that, verse 35, James and John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." What do you think of that? This comment in that context would seem pretty bold, maybe even egotistical or self-centered. But do we not often do the same thing in the way we pray? Just think about this for a minute. You've probably never said, "God, give me some money." But maybe we have said, "Lord, would you bless me financially?" See, we think sometimes if we just say it a little bit different and put some religious terms on it, that makes it okay, and God hears it differently. God doesn't listen to our words nearly as much as he does to our heart. And that's where the prayer has to come from. And there are times that the reason we're asking for that blessing financially isn't because we want to use it to better serve the kingdom. It's because we want to have it so that we can then take control of our own life and we don't have to rely on God as much anymore. That's sometimes the reasons that we ask for those financial blessings. Secondly, sometimes we may pray something similar to God. Just could could you give me a promotion? Could you just help me out there a little bit? So when this happens, a lot of times that's about people looking at us more highly, when really what we should be doing is thinking about how we serve in a way that they look on God more highly, not on us. Another prayer we may pray at times that God would want to caution us on might be something along this lines. God, please make sure I get a good grade on this test. Any students in here? In other words, continue to bail me out when I'm not pulling my weight, being lazy, not using the gifts you've given. God wants us to pray about everything. He really does, including our grades. I'll come back to that in a second. Or maybe it's just sometimes, God, get me out of trouble. And when we're in trouble, God wants to hear that. But again, it's our heart that He's listening to. And if we're just saying, get us out of trouble so we don't suffer the consequences, instead of saying, I'm sorry for the ways I've disobeyed you, help me learn from this situation that I've brought on myself, God. You see, there's different ways of praying, and there's times God might want to say to us, you don't know what you're asking. You see, God really does want us to pray about our financial situations and about our jobs and about school and about our grades and about trouble when we get into it. But God wants to be a part of helping us to grow from that, not simply be a lifesaver or somebody that just hands things out here or there. God wants us to grow in being the person God calls us to be. So, here in the scripture, one of the things that is James and John are dealing with is they want to be the greatest. They have a desire to be greater, to set in a place that no one else is going to set. This is one of the fundamental temptations of Satan. And we can go back to even with Jesus. If you want to go back in Mark, and it's in all the Gospels, but if you go back in Mark chapter 4, verse 8, where we have the temptation in the wilderness, just that one verse we can read. In verse 8 it said, again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. All Jesus had to do was bow down to Satan and he could have it all. But you know, it's not only that. He didn't necessarily want to say yes to Satan. He didn't want to do something he knew he shouldn't do, and we don't either. But he had to know that if he said no to Satan, that meant he was going to go in a different direction. He knew if he said no to Satan, some of the stuff that laid in front of him, including a hard time of ridicule, of loneliness, of betrayal, of pain, of death. This was real temptation for Jesus. He was the Son of God, but Jesus was also human. Jesus knows what we're going through when we are tempted to compromise for what we think could be our own greatness. Let's talk about that for just a minute. It could be a temptation to lower our morals or bending the truth just to get ahead. In school, for those of us who are students, it could mean cheating. And you're thinking, you know, God, I didn't get it all done, and I don't know the answers, and if I don't do better on this, I'm going to fail. I'm just going to do it one time, God, one time. No, you're not. Or maybe we're not in school anymore. But the temptation comes from stealing from our company. And it's not money. I'm not stealing money. It's not that. And you know, they really aren't even going to miss it. It's not going to matter much. And they really owe it to me anyway. Stealing is stealing. Or when it comes to speaking something that's not true, it's just a little lie, and it's just going to make things easier. It's just a little lie. There is no such thing as a little lie. Because no matter how little it starts out, it's going to get bigger and bigger. So see, we're often tempted to do some of these things in order to be great. It may be looking the other way instead of standing up for what we know is right. Do you know that the Scripture talks about a sin of omission? James chapter 4, verse 17 reads, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is a sin." So there's sometimes that because we want to be great, because we want to be seen in a certain way, we won't stand up for what we know we should stand up for. And to do that, the Bible says, is a sin. Then again, and this is a hard one, but stepping on others to boost ourselves up. Drawing attention to others' shortcomings in order to make ourselves look better. As believers, we should be helping, encouraging, and supporting others, celebrating their victories with them, and helping them where they're weak. Instead of saying, you know, they messed it up here. Now's my opportunity to really get ahead. So, what did this type of thinking and ambition lead to for James and John in verse 41? It says, when the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. These were the disciples. These were the men that Jesus spent most of his time with when he was here on earth. And he spent teaching them and providing examples for them. And look at what they did. Do you think we're not going to fall into the same trap? We do. And so the reason that we have this scripture, the reason we have this message today, isn't to make us feel guilty. It isn't to cause us to feel like we're just worthless. It's to help us to realize that Jesus has a better plan. God desires something greater for us than what we think our greatness might be. So we move to where we better understand an idea of investing in others instead of ruling over others. You see, Jesus used this as a teachable moment. If we look down at verse 42, Jesus called the disciples together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you." How did the disciples hear this? I don't know. It doesn't spell that out in the Scripture, but I have to believe it impacted their actions, because if you continue to read through the Gospels and understand the decisions that they made, they chose to move in a direction that was not about their greatness. It was about God's greatness. How about us? What has God drawn to your attention today? Where have you sought to lift yourself over others? To go ahead in ways that might compromise your integrity? Who have you overlooked or maybe even pushed aside in order to draw attention to yourself? It's easy to see how James and John were out of line in their request to Jesus. Can we see that the areas we've been out of line, the ways we've compromised who God's called us to be in order to achieve what we think is greatness? We could say, but oh, that's not me. I'm not loud, outspoken. I'm not that overachieving type. I just keep quiet and do my own thing. That's the problem. We should not be doing our own thing. We should be doing God's thing. We should be drawing attention not to ourselves, but to God. How do we do this? I want to give an example, and this is something I heard this week. It's a true story of something that's going on in our community. There was a supervisor that was charged with evaluating his employees. He did the evaluation, sent it back into the management. The management sent the evaluation back. and said, you need to do it again. He said, what do you mean I need to do it again? You gave them too high markings. He said, what do you mean? I mean, they come in, they're here on time, they do what I asked them to do, and they do it with a good attitude. I gave them what I thought was a fair evaluation. Well, it's too good. And they're realizing he's not understanding. He said, well, our evaluation is a little bit more than what you do. And see, when they came in several years ago, we asked them what their goals were in this job. And each of them were directed toward listing some type of long-term goals. These were some guys that were up in age somewhat, that were hired. Some of them had never even completed high school. And so one of the things that most all of them put were something about advancing their education. A couple of them said they wanted to graduate from high school. Others had said they wanted to get certification in these things. And so the management said, you know, they said these were their goals and it hadn't happened, so they need to be graded down on that, regardless of what other kind of work they do. And the supervisor who had worked with these guys just felt like something wasn't right. And so he went back and he had conversations. He began to talk to them about what their desires were and why they had ridden what they had. And he came to realize that they did yearn for that, but they didn't have the confidence. They put that down because they felt like if they didn't put some down like that, they weren't sure they would even get the job. But they struggled. And so you know what this supervisor chose to do on his own? He said, you know, there's a certification coming up. And they would like for as many of us as can to follow through on that certification. So we're going to study for it. And we're going to study together. Now, here's the book you need to read. And you know this is a really thick book. And it's pretty hard for anybody just to sit down and know all of this stuff. So we're going to read it. We're going to read it in small portions, maybe 10 or 20 pages at a time. And then we're going to come back in and we're going to talk about what it is we saw and understood in there. And over time, we're going to learn this stuff. And then we're going to go and take that test. Right now, those men are in the midst of having that study group with a supervisor who took it upon his own self to care enough to want to see and help them succeed instead of simply marking them down and saying, you still aren't good enough. That's what it means to invest in others as Christ calls us to do instead of ruling over others. Do you see the difference? Finally, we leave with a charge from the Scriptures. God wants us to be great, but the greatness God desires for us is not grounded in the greatness the world sees a lot of times. It's grounded in mercy and kindness. In verse 43 and through the end of what we read today, through 45, it reads, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." As we come to a time of invitation, a time that you're going to have if you choose to come forward, it's a time for each of us to pray to the God of the universe, to our Lord and Savior, to our Comforter, to our Friend, and yes, to our Provider, who wants us to ask Him for things as long as we do it with the heart that we are supposed to. But I strongly suggest we consider what we're asking so as not to receive the response James and John received in today's passage. You don't know what you're asking. You know, I want to put something else in there, though, but I don't want to ever discourage anyone from praying. I don't want to say, well, you know, I'm not sure I can pray because I might end up praying something I'm not supposed to pray. Don't worry about that. You're to pray, and God will hear, and as long as you're seeking and desiring in your heart to achieve, to be, to connect with the God who loves you and cares for you, He will show you that. And when he says you don't know what you're praying, that doesn't necessarily mean a rebuke. It's saying you don't know what you're praying because, one, that may be limiting what God wants to do with you. It may be the opposite of a blessing for you and you don't realize it. But if you are willing to be in that conversation with God, it will lead us toward greatness in terms of realizing who God is and being who God calls us to be. What are your plans for this week? What are you striving for? What is your goal? Let me give you some possibilities. Maybe it's acing the big test. Maybe, and you know, there's some people that are trying out for a basketball team this week. Maybe it's making the basketball team. Maybe it's impressing others with your project completion. Maybe it's making sure everything around your house is top-notch and it looks really good. Maybe it's getting all of your workout in for this week. Now, these aren't bad things. In fact, they're all good. But if we take time to ask God what He desires for our week, while these things may very well be a part of God's plan for us, I expect there are other things God desires to be a higher priority. I believe God wants us to consider how we might serve others this week. And here it is. This is an opportunity to respond to God's call to consider who in your life God might be leading you to serve. And there's some right now that you know it. God's already been working on it. You've got a name. You've got a picture in your mind. Who could use some encouragement in getting out of the rut they've been in for a while? Or maybe if there's not a specific person or situation at the moment, God would just like you to be aware of opportunities to serve that will come your way this week. Be willing to make serving a priority over furthering our own agenda or lifting up ourselves. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life ransom for many. What are you going to do this week? What do you desire? What are your goals going to be? What conversations are you having with God? There are several different decisions that God could be calling for right now. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't made that decision, that's the first step, and that's what God wants you to do. For others, you may be in the process of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that step is to come forward and say, you know, this is real, and I'm coming to claim that I want to stand with the body of Christ because of what Jesus Christ has done for me in dying on the cross and paying the price for my sins and overcoming Satan and death and giving me an opportunity not only for eternal life but to live a blessed life here at hand. And you want to claim that. For others, it may be that you've gotten in somewhat of a rut yourself and you just know you need to get out, and God is yearning for you to do that. And He wants to help lift you if you'll just be willing to accept it. Amen. And then as you go about your week and those goals, you'll realize there's opportunities galore that God gives you. And then the things that you thought were going to bless you pale in comparison to the real blessings God wants to give you. Let's just hear God here and now and respond as He would lead. The altar's open. I'm willing to pray with you. Respond here. Respond this week. Respond each day. We stand together and sing hymn number 606, I Gave My Life.